as we embark upon the much prophesized 2012, predicted by some to be the fabled end times, but more perhaps as the end of the world as we know it. Certainly, the animals would benefit from a radical restructuring of human consumption patterns, and with the climate change crisis, the economic crisis, and the human health crisis, all having links to the curious custom of eating animals for food, perhaps this will be the year that the Earth will be saved by going vegan. Our New Year's show is coming up, and all of our collective members and new host volunteers will be participating. So stay tuned for Vegan World Radio coming up next. As we know it, it's the end of the world. As we know it, I feel fine. 6 o'clock, TV hour, don't get caught in four tires, slice and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book, burning blood, red in every motive, escalate, automotive, incinerate. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, watch your heel, crush, crush, uh-oh, this means no fear, cavalier, renegade, steer clear, tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel that famous song, of course, was from the band R.E.M., played in tribute to the occasion of 2012. And if the world as we know it is the meat-eating world, then we will all be overjoyed to have it come to a close and see the world go vegan. R.E.M. recently dissolved as a music group, but few people know that band members Michael Stipe and guitarist Peter Buck are vegetarian. Good evening and welcome to Vegan World Radio. We come to you every Wednesday night from 10 to 11 here on Pacifica, 90.1 in Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, 89.7 in Huntsville, and now at 90.3 in Livingston. We do have a lot of people participating on tonight's show, but that was always how our late great founding member, Shirley Wilkes Johnson, liked to start the first show of the new year, to have as many of us as possible together reading inspiring news stories about the world going vegan. In just a minute, we will be joined by our collective member, Anuj Shah, who will be phoning in from India. A little later in the program, another new host, volunteer, terrific Bette Sindemeyer, will be giving us a recap of the no-kill actions going on in Houston and the outlook for 2012. In the studio with me tonight, our new volunteer guest host, many of which you recall hearing already on the air. Happy New Year and welcome to Bernadette and Dennis. Good evening, folks.
Good evening.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Howdy.
Also, our collective member, Avon, is doing the sound production tonight with our wonderful volunteer, Snail. Thank you, guys, for doing the sound tonight. And to free up terrific Vegan X, who for a change is in the studio with us. Good evening, Vegan X. Happy New Year.
Hello.
Hey, the voice behind the magic.
Happy Vegan New Year.
And a very special welcome to a returning volunteer who hasn't been on the show for a year now. We're very fortunate and delighted and happy to welcome back Saoirse Martinez once again to the show. Good evening, Saoirse.
Hi. Happy New Year, everybody.
Well, we have a lot going on. Oh, by the way.
Welcome home.
Yes. Yes, I'm definitely happy to be back in Houston, back in the vegan community.
And many of you might be wondering, where is Pamela, our collective member Pamela Klecki, won't be joining us, unfortunately, tonight. She had a family crisis going on. So if you're listening out there, Pamela, know that you're in our hearts. We love you, and we all miss you tonight. So that's our Vegan World Radio family. And let's see. Well, before we get started, as I said, the New Year show was always Shirley's show. It was her tradition. She'd always put tremendous effort into it. And those of you who heard last week's show, you heard our collective member, Avon, did a very special program, and you heard a lot of her voice. Those of you who may not have been familiar with Shirley, she's in all of our hearts, and we're thinking of her so much tonight, and we are keeping her tradition alive. We've all signed on for another year for Vegan World Radio, so we are going to keep this going. But and as I said, in just a moment or two, we're going to be speaking to Anuj. But first, Saoirse, you have been gone so long. Tell us about all the fantastic travels you've had and all the fabulous vegan food you've come across.
You know, it's a double-edged sword, because I had to leave behind such a phenomenal, amazing vegan community. But a lot of times when you're suddenly put out, you have to learn things on your own, we'll say. The area I went up to, a lot of people think I was in New York City. No, I was at the Canadian border of New York, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, that was different. There wasn't a whole lot of produce, and so I had to actually be very resourceful. I got in touch with a lot of co-ops out there. Just an amazing farm out there called Better Farms. They're working around the country to bring in people to learn all types of green and eco-friendly methods of farming. So it's really amazing, and it's run by a vegan. So I've gotten to partake with that. I got to meet several Canadian people, being so close, and try Canadian food across the border, like the sleepless goat.
Oh.
Yep. But, you know, in my immediate area, there wasn't a whole lot, and so I had to be incredibly resourceful, and that's when you get to utilize factions like the website and, you know, really get in touch with people, and there was a good source of camaraderie there. So when I came back, a girlfriend and I actually went on a road trip, a vegan road trip, and we traveled from Texas to Los Angeles, eating at nothing but vegan restaurants. One of my favorites was a place called Yoshimatsu in Tucson, Arizona. And it was amazing. And, I mean, it was very health-oriented, but the food was just out of this world, you know. And we left with full bellies and just such amazing food there. L.A., I mean, I can't even begin to touch on all of the restaurants there. I mean, that was like I was a kid in a candy store there. But I did get to finally make my way into Real Food Daily for lunch.
Oh, everybody loves that. Yes. L.A. is a mecca. New York City is a mecca. Mm-hmm. Where you got to travel, though, that's one of the places that's, you know, kind of ripe for vegan expansion, though, isn't it?
Exactly. And because of that, I've created a blog that I'm working on, so it's being worked on. But basically, it's going to be a blog designated for the small town vegan. And how does a small town vegan do things when there aren't as many resources as a big city vegan has? So that is something I'm working on. And, you know, like I said, it was so amazing to meet so many other people. Like I said, to go to a farm and load up a backpack full of organic produce for $8. You know, and they're literally pulling the vegetables out of the ground and handing them to you.
Oh, lucky
you. Know,
you.
Oh, I was in hog heaven. I mean, that was just, like, perfect for me, you know. But like I said, you know, don't ever be scared. I mean, if I could do it where I was at, you can be vegan anywhere in the world. There are the resources. And you know what? I felt great, and I looked great, and I had just an amazing time, you know, going on a wild goose chase to see what I could find. I mean, you need to look at veganism as excitement.
I don't know if goose chase and hog heaven, though, are politically correct.
Not the best analogies.
Yeah. I'm horrible at analogies, so we'll just go ahead and know that I'm definitely far from perfect. But like I said, you know, having that ability to come across so many types of folks, which I also get to do in the next few months when I go to Ireland.
Ireland. We want to hear about that. But before we do, I want to ask some of our other panelists. If you're just joining the show, this is the Vegan World Radio Show here on 90.1 KPFT in Houston. You can find out all about us at veganworldradio.org. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. My name is Geraldine, and this is our New Year's show. And anybody else? We have Dennis and Vegan X and Bernadette in the studio. Any other quick stories of travels and delicious vegan foods you might have come across in 2011?
Well, with a similar challenge, I went to the island where I was born. That's Puerto Rico. It is a Commonwealth of the United States. But it was very, very difficult also to find vegan foods and a lot of vegetables. I mean, I went to a grocery store and they had about one lettuce offering, and that was iceberg lettuce. And I was like, iceberg lettuce? That's not even lettuce. I think I'll pass.
Puerto Rico, I would kind of expect that they'd have a lot of variety of produce.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's not the case?
Probably because the island itself may not grow a lot of their own produce. A lot of it is imported. And I don't think that demographic is really that motivated towards vegetables, these kind of things. So, I mean, I saw a lot of it.
I'm surprised, actually.
A lot of it.
I would have thought it would be the other way.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay.
No, so it's... And I may have to correct myself. There may be a lot in regards to vegetables, but when I think about leafy greens, and that's something I'm very passionate about, is it was quite limited. But I do hunt around and find the right place and spend the money. Also, I found very little fresh bunch, kale, chard, dark leafy greens, green leaf lettuce, red leaf lettuce. A lot of it was already bagged, pre-washed, this kind of thing. So that led me to think that was, if that was the case, it was directly a gourmet type item.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I picked up those bags of that. So when Saoirse talks about her Canadian border experience, I almost think, yes, if she had to almost introduce it herself. And that in a lot of times it's almost easier in the big city rather than more difficult in the big city to find something.
Now, didn't you, though, have access to foods like yuca? I had a Puerto Rican boyfriend, and they would eat, like, boiled green bananas with olive oil on it and lots of yuca and, yeah, a lot of root vegetables and stuff like that. Were you able to come across any, like, traditional Puerto Rican food in the means of veganism?
I did, but the thing is, once they were finished with them, it was destroyed.
Oh.
I mean, by the time it was yummy and they had cooked it and beat it to death and added all these other non-vegan goodies to it.
Tostones?
there was very little of it left to where I was, mm-hmm. In that sense, interested in eating it. And that's what we encounter a lot of times.
And our roving reporter is standing by in India to join us. But before we do, Bernadette, do you have any quick stories to chime in?
Let's go with Anoush since he's standing by.
He's only in India.
He'll appreciate that. Yeah.
He can wait.
He's only in India.
So what? It's early morning for the guy, you know?
All right. Well, now, Anuj, if you're there, please tune in and join us in Happy New Year and tell us about all the fabulous vegan food you've been enjoying in the exotic lands of India.
Well, hi, everybody. Happy New Year. Happy 2012. And I'm really excited to have 2012 be just an incredibly revolutionary year for people's hearts and minds, opening up to more and more compassion and having more and more people go vegan in the world. You know, I'm going to put a positive on this. I don't know. I mean, I don't live on a border between whatever and a rural and whatever. I mean, we're, you know, the world is absolutely going vegan, you know, and there are so many options all over the world. I agree with what you said, Saoirse. I mean, you can be vegan anywhere in the world. And I, you know, wasn't born in Puerto Rico, but I've been to Puerto Rico many times, and I'm not sure about the kale and all that stuff, but we ate great vegan food there. There were restaurants that totally catered to us. They really understood the deal. So we had a great time. But anyway, here in India, I mean, this is definitely heaven for anyone who's vegetarian, absolutely for sure. And even for vegans, it's great. You know, I've said this on the show before, but people really get the concept of vegetarian here. So for vegetarians here in India, that means no animal flesh, you know, no poultry, no fish, whatever, and no eggs. So the one downside is they are a little bit addicted to their, as our good friend Bob Linden says, bovine mammary secretions here. So they kind of want to put cream and you know, milk or yogurt or cheese or butter or something. A lot of things, you know, ghee, as people may know, is clarified butter. But you know what? Things are really, really starting to open up here. And, like, people really get it when we go out. They don't, you know, they really get it that you don't want butter in something. And they're or whatever it is. And they're so willing to prepare items here.
Anuj, you've told us this before. Now, can you hear me, Anuj?
I can hear you fine.
You've told us this before. We want to hear details. What did you have to eat today or yesterday? We want to hear the goodies.
Let me tell you. So we went to this great vegetarian, all-vegetarian Italian-Mexican restaurant, this combo. They made fabulous vegan pastas for us. They made these fabulous, incredibly wonderful, can't even tell you, they were like these zucchini cakes. They were so great. They made me a vegan brownie. It wasn't even like that because deal for them. You know, it was delicious. The frosting and everything, a really wonderful raspberry sauce. And so that was one example. Just the other day, it was a cousin of mine's birthday, and they, like, in 2 seconds were able to prepare a very wonderful Italian, again, it was like an Italian type place. That's a big deal here. Now people are like to eat more Western foods here. And they prepared a really great mushroom marinara vegetable pasta. No butter, no eggs in the pasta. And it was just wonderful. So there's things like that all the time. And of course, if you go to an Indian restaurant, I mean, it's very easy to get, you know, vegan food. I mean, I could just go on and on. So it's really wonderful being here. And I've got to share this story with you. So I was at a store the other day, and there's this very famous cream that people here use. You know, it's been around for decades. And on the box of the cream, it said vegan. That was the first time I had ever seen the word vegan printed on something in India.
Well, then what's in it?
Incredible. Well, nothing from an animal, that's for sure.
So you're going to bring some back for us to all try, right?
What's that?
You're going to bring some back for all of us to try, right? Some souvenirs?
No, okay, let me be clear. It's not a cream that you eat. It's a cream you apply to your face.
Oh! We were visualizing desserts.
I know. But you know, it's really great, though, because, I mean, why would they even say vegan? But it was so incredible. Like, they are saying vegan on these things now. Like, vegan, not vegetarian. And, you know, I walked into a grocery store a few days ago just, you know, because we went to a wedding, and I wanted to go grab just a couple bananas as an early morning snack. And there was a whole wall full of soy milk and soy. I mean, it's just incredible. So, like, things are really, really opening up and changing here. And so, like I said, for vegetarians, it's absolute heaven. And for vegans, it's been almost there anyway. But now it's getting even more, you know, just widespread. So, you know, eating and living in India, I mean, I'm going to have gained a few pounds when I get back. You'll see. But it's just a wonderful place to be. People are opening up. And they already have that compassionate basis anyway.
Anuj?
Kind of misguided about how cruel dairy is. They all live under this impression or illusion that the cows are treated beautifully and all that kind of stuff. But I have a hard time believing when 1.2 billion people are, you know, wanting to be fed bovine mammary secretion food, that the cows can be treated that well. But anyway, so
this is the year.
Nice being out here. I miss you guys. I really look forward to coming back in a few days and partaking of vegan food in the United States. Being out here in India, one of these days we're going to do a vegan tour of India. It is so
You make us all jealous every time you go.
No, it's just really great being here. So,
Anuj, we appreciate you calling so much. Before you go, though, tell us the closest big city that you're close to. What is the big vegetarian restaurant that you like to go to in the biggest city that's nearby to where you're traveling?
Well, I'm in the biggest city. I'm in Mumbai, which is, you know, it's the financial capital of India. It's not the political capital. But, you know, I mean, you walk down the street and there's 20 vegetarian restaurants. I mean, most of the restaurants.
Tell us your favorite.
We want names. We want names.
I went to this one with my uncle last week called Status. It's like a gourmet all-vegetarian restaurant. We went to another one a couple days before that called Samrat. So those are two wonderful ones.
What was the name of the last one?
Samrat, Samrat. It's just, can I just tell you how wonderful it is to walk into a restaurant and know that you won't be, you know, for whatever it is, I mean, you've got to be clear about the dairy, but you will not have to worry about ingesting any, you know, any kind of flesh from an animal. You don't get questions here about chicken and fish and, you know, eggs or whatever. I mean, it's just absolutely really wonderful. So everybody must come to India at some point for lots of reasons, but especially for the culinary delights that are out here, the compassionate culinary delights.
Well, Anuj, we miss you so much, and thank you so much for calling and joining us on the New Year show. We're all thinking about Shirley big time right now, so thank you for joining us across the miles.
Absolutely. We're dedicated to Shirley. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the show. And, just a happy vegan 2012 to everybody, and I'll see you guys soon.
We miss you.
Anuj, we'll talk to customs that you can't bring us some leftovers.
Okay.
Happy New Year, Anuj.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Anuj.
Until you come back.
Happy New Year, everybody. Bye. Big hug. Bye-bye.
Yay.
Vegan hug.
All right. If you're just joining the program, this is the Vegan World Radio Show here on 90.1 KPFT in Houston. And we are having our New Year show, and we're having a lot of surprises. We're having a lot of fun in the studio. Again, my name is Geraldine, and with me is Bernadette and Saoirse and Dennis and Vegan X. And in our fabulous control panel sound room, doing the magic buttons in there, we have Snail for the first time piloting the soundboards.
Snail.
And our collective member, Avon, is producing in there. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. And in just a minute, we are going to have another one of our new guest host producers, who's also the president of No Kill Houston. She's going to give us a quick recap of everything going on in Houston with the No Kill business and agenda and the goals and the achievements. So at this time, I really want to welcome Beth Sundemeyer. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, hey, Happy New Year, and please do give us a recap of No Kill Houston. And by the way, thank you so much for all that you do for Vegan World Radio all the time and for joining us via the magic of the phone tonight.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. Well, it has been a long year with a lot of hard work in our fight to end shelter killing. In April, No Kill Houston brought international no-kill expert Nathan Winograd to Houston for the second time in 2 years to teach his day-long building a no-kill community workshop. And we had about 400 people. Even though we sent the directors of Houston's five kill shelters free tickets to the workshop, none of them attended. So that was disappointing, but not entirely surprising that none were eager to learn how others across the country have stopped shelter killing. However, we were happy to learn that the director of Manatee County Animal Services traveled all the way from Florida to Houston to attend our seminar. He then made the commitment to implement the programs and services that Winograd taught to stop shelter killing in his shelter, so we were happy to hear that. Earlier this year, No Kill Houston members also successfully persuaded Texas State Representative Jessica Farrar to file the Companion Animal Protection Act, also called CAPA, in Texas. So filing CAPA was an exciting and really bold move forward in the fight to protect the lives of companion animals in Texas shelters. The Texas state legislature is one of the most difficult in which to pass legislation, and because it only convenes every 2 years and the latest session only lasts for a few months, so there's a really short time period to try to persuade a state representative to file the legislation, and an even shorter time period to persuade the assigned committee to set the bill for a hearing. Unfortunately, CAPA did not pass in Texas this year. However, through the filing of the bill, we were able to raise awareness quite considerably regarding the high kill rates and inhumane treatments within our animal shelter system, so that people across the United States became aware of why the protections afforded by CAPA are actually needed, not only in Texas, but in every state. And as expected, when CAPA was filed, it was opposed by all the high kill shelters and their supporters, such as the animal control associations. However, there was some unexpected opposition from some so-called humane organizations, so we learned who the true animal advocates are and saw the True Color System self-proclaimed humane organizations, who, as it turns out, were no friend to Texas shelter pets. Throughout the year, No Kill Houston also had booths at many events. We were at dog shows, cat shows, home shows, and festivals. You name it, we were there. Our members passed out literature and free copies of Nathan Winograd's books, and we talked to hundreds, maybe thousands, of people about what's going on within our broken shelter system. We also educated people about how we can fix it. Also in 2009, after many citizens had repeatedly expressed much outrage over the high kill rates in Houston shelters, Denise Parker made the issue a campaign issue, and she made campaign promises to do everything in her power to transition Houston to a no-kill city. Many animal lovers voted for her based on these promises, and for 2 years, we have been waiting for the mayor to make good on her promises. Sadly, we've seen very little to no difference in the kill rates in Houston's five shelters and animal control facilities since she took office. In fact, Houston's city-funded animal control facility, known as BART, continues to kill an average of 1,000 animals every single month. So clearly more work is done needed before Houston can join the 25 or so open emission no-kill communities across our country. But we're hoping that Houston's newly elected city council will step up to the challenge, just as so many other city councils have done. So our goals going forward are to continue to raise awareness of our barbaric shelter system, to continue to raise awareness on how others have ended shelter killing, to continue to fight for legislation that would protect shelter pets. And the reason that we need this legislation is, one, is it's become painfully clear that there are certain shelters that will not protect shelter animals voluntarily. And two, we believe that animal shelters should be regulated just like every other industry, which holds the power of life and death, just like hospitals. So, and what most people don't know is there are very few laws that actually protect the lives of shelter pets, either at the state or local levels. We have laws that say when they can be killed and what methods can be used to kill them, but we don't have laws that actually protect their lives, and that's what we need. For instance, we need a law that says a shelter pet cannot be killed if a rescue group offers to save them, or that we need laws that mandate transparency by requiring shelters to report just how many animals they are killing, because right now if a shelter doesn't have an animal control contract, they are not required by law to tell the public how many they're killing, so they're doing it in complete secrecy. So right now, like I said, there are around 25 or so open admission no-kill shelters in North America, which is a huge leap forward, and four of these shelters are right here in Texas. So we know without a doubt that it is possible to save all healthy and treatable pets, even in open admission shelters or animal control facilities, because it's being done right now. And it could be done right here in Texas and in Houston if the leaders of Houston's five kill shelters were dedicated to saving lives. But since Houston is still killing roughly 80,000 shelter pets every single year, I think it's safe to say that they really aren't dedicated to saving lives. And this is exactly why we need legislation to force them to implement the programs and services that are saving lives elsewhere. So we want to encourage people to get involved and lend their voices to this issue. If people want to help support no-kill efforts, they can find out more by visiting our website at nokillhouston.org.
Well, Matt, you are so hardworking at this, and you are really the guiding force. We all want to see this in Houston, because these so-called shelters that are just killing most of the animals, this is a form of slaughterhouse.
I mean,
this is the same as cow and chicken and pig slaughterhouse. This is for our most beloved companion
exactly
animals.
Right.
Matt, you are so fantastic, and we are so grateful to you with all your contribution with Vegan World Radio. And please tell me that you will stick with us in the new year and keep doing shows, because we love what you do.
Oh, I would love to.
Well, we're here for you, and we're a team, and thank you for all, Bet. And again, repeat the website. I think it's pretty easy, but just in case, it's...
it's nokillhouston.org.
I hope everybody takes a look, because we need to have that in Houston. Austin has done it. They beat us to the punch. I was hoping Houston could be the first city in Houston, in Texas. But if Austin can do it, we can. And
well, they got a three-year head start on us, so we can do it. We can do it. They just got a little bit head start on us. And I have faith in our new city council. I think we have some animal lovers on board, and I have faith that they'll step up the way Austin City Council did.
Thank you again, Bet, so much for joining us so late tonight, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Thanks.
Alrighty, if you're just joining the show, this is the Vegan World Radio Show, and we're here at 90.1 in Houston. You can find all about us at veganworldradio.org. And if vegan is a new word to you, remember that is spelled V-E-G-A-N, the short version and the most compact version and powerful version of the word vegetarian. It goes up and beyond. So we are getting ready for our news and views, which is the exciting main event for our show. And thank you again to Saoirse Martinez for stepping in to prepare these wonderful stories. But before we do, we're going to take a quick break and listen to some of the incredible successes of the Undercover Investigation for Mercy for Animals. This is their 2011 recap and what they are doing of documenting the abuse of farm animals. People are trying to criminalize that, so we can't even see what's happening. So we really have a special place in our heart for Mercy for Animals. Let's listen to a little bit of this that's going on. And when we come back, we will have news and views for 2012. Again, you're listening to Vegan World Radio. You're on KPFT 90.1 in Houston.
This is
Mercy for Animals.
Mercy for Animals.
Mercy for Animals, top 11 successes.
Top 11 of 2011.
Number one, expose McDonald's horrific treatment of egg-laying hens.
With a shocking undercover look at where your breakfast may be coming from.
Hundreds of hens crammed into wire cages with no room to move.
They are thrown, they're slammed in and out of cages.
McDonald's made a radical change.
It is now dumping one of the companies.
Target announced that it, too, is discontinuing the use of all Sparbo egg products.
Number two. Uncovered shocking cruelty to animals inside Iowa's largest pig factory farm.
Torturing pigs.
Workers ripping out the testicles of conscious piglets.
Pigs can't even turn around.
This type of abuse does run rampant within the pork industry.
And most like Kroger have stopped buying from the farm in question.
Costco announces it will cut ties with that farm.
Number three. Created the eye-opening documentary, Farm to Fridge.
And took the life-changing film on a nationwide road tour.
Not a single federal law provides protection to farm animals during their lives on factory farms.
They're traveling 12,000 miles
to 41 more cities in the next 3 months.
Number four, launch three cutting-edge pro-vegetarian commercials on MTV.
Number five, expanded our life-saving campaigns to the West Coast, opening our newest advocacy center in Los Angeles.
Number six, released the first ever undercover investigation into a fish slaughter facility.
Workers cutting, slicing, and skinning fully conscious catfish.
It's more like hell when the fish are killed.
And these animals process pain in much the same way as dogs and cats.
Fish feel pain.
Number seven, exposed millions to the plight of farm animals with our powerful bus, billboard, and magazine ads.
Mercy for Animals put up this sign encouraging people to go vegetarian for the holiday meal.
Number eight, held over 1,500 vegetarian outreach events, promoting kindness and compassion from coast to coast.
Number nine, took on a Texas calf factory farm and won.
Calves being hit on the head and left for dead.
Neglect and abuse is a routine way of working at the Essex Cattle Company.
People should see what's happening to these animals.
You should be criminally prosecuted.
Arrest warrants for seven people on a cattle ranch.
Five other workers are charged with felonies.
You gotta love the folks at Mercy for Animals. They don't stop until people who abuse animals are exposed. Neither do we.
10 rescued four baby calves, taking them from harm to harmony.
Tonight, a ray of hope. Four abused calves will live out their years at an animal sanctuary.
Number 11, named Nonprofit of the Year.
With you standing by our side, we are
opening hearts and minds,
saving lives,
confronting cruelty,
promoting justice,
and inspiring compassion.
Together, we are creating a kinder future for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please join us in giving a powerful voice to farm animals in 2012.
And thank you for joining us. This is the Vegan World Radio program on KPFT in Houston. And you've just been listening to all the great work of Mercy for Animals. My name is Geraldine, and this is our first of the year show. This was always a personal favorite of our beloved founding member, Shirley Wilkes Johnson. And again, if you heard the special program last week prepared by our collective member, Avon, then you heard Shirley's voice and perhaps learned a little bit about her if you never got to to hear her on the show. Needless to say, everyone here tonight was greatly inspired by her, and we all miss her dearly. But as we are continuing on to keep her dream alive and keep the show going, we are keeping up her tradition of news and views, which we'll be getting to in just a moment. Before we get started, though, we have brought a bell to honor Shirley. I'm going to be the first to strike it, and then I invite anyone here to do likewise, to give us all a moment to remember her before we get started. So, dearest Shirley, we will never forget you.
This is for you, Shirley.
I love you, Shirley.
Shirley, hope you hold on to the music of this whole evening, because that's all what this is a part of, is for you.
Shirley, we're keeping the flame burning for you, and Ben, too.
It is time for news and views. And again, we have, we want to really thank Saoirse Martinez jumping in, and we have some really big shoes to fill for our predecessor, who always took so much time and delight in preparing these news stories that we would all read. And we are keeping this tradition going. And to start it off, I believe we have a news story about what's going on down south.
Anti-whaling boat, the Bridget Bardot, a scouting vessel for the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, has been damaged by a wave during the pursuit of the Japanese ship, the Nishin Maru. Although the small vessel sustained a cracked hull and one of the pontoons on the boat was damaged, Paul Watson, Sea Shepherd founder, and Steve Irwin, captain, stated that none of the boat's 10 crew were injured and the boat was in no danger of sinking. Whereas this is a setback for the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, Paul Watson states, it's not going to stop our attempt. Last week, it was revealed that the Sea Shepherd was using drones to intercept the Japanese factory ship, the Nishin Maru, and to keep track of the whalers when they try to escape and evade the Sea Shepherd. What they do is they put these harpoon vessels on our tail, and they relay our position to the Nishin Maru, and it keeps the Nishin Maru away, said Watson. So with the drones, we're able to keep abreast of where the Nishin Maru is. Media reports that the Japanese will take the lives of 900 whales. Captain Watson said although the Japanese whalers have yet to kill, he believes the numbers will reach well over 1,000. And lastly, in Sea Shepherd news, Operation Infinite Patience has put out the call for Cove Guardians to take direct action in Japan. The group ascertains this through a message left on the Sea Shepherd's website. Holding our ground, not being intimidated by authority or threats, and continually speaking the truth against the lies the Japanese authorities and media try to present the Japanese public and the world. However, the most important thing Cove Guardians do is to inform concerned and passionate people worldwide. If you believe that you can be a Cove Guardian and have the resources to join, then please write to CoveGuardian@SeaShepherd.org.
And, you know, we've had Paul Watson on and the different folks from Sea Shepherd, and what they're doing is so phenomenal. It's incomprehensible that, well, that any animal's being murdered in this day and age, but such majestic, fantastic, intelligent animals with brain sizes larger than human beings are being killed in this way. I know, Vegan X, when we had Captain Watson on the show, you told me he was your personal favorite, and do any...
He's one of my personal heroes, I think. Actually, this summer, I didn't say this, this summer I got to view some whales firsthand, and up in Alaska, and really, after seeing whales firsthand, you know, without, not just in pictures, but just being out on a boat and watching them feeding, bubble feeding, I personally can't imagine why anybody would go after these animals and harm them.
Have any of the rest of you seen the Whale Wars show?
Oh, I'm a huge fan.
Go ahead.
But one thing I thought I saw today that actually I thought was so kind of, in its own way, heartwarming, was that they have found, this shows the true spirit of a whale to me, but there are some whales that have lived upwards of 245 years that divers have discovered harpoons in them from the 1800s. And they're still alive, and they're still strong as ever. So you can't kill the spirit of a whale, you know?
That's incredible. I hadn't heard, even imagined that.
I thought that was amazing.
Go ahead and get close to the mic. No, I mean, did you have anything more to say about Sea Shepherd? Or?
No. But pretty much basically what she was saying.
Were they on, were they sponsored by one of the cable channels?
Animal Planet.
Yeah. Animal Planet, okay. Because I think I've seen that before. Mm-hmm. And also it was the whole, it was more of the ruthlessness and disinterest in the system that processed the animals, I think, that got to me the most. Was that how it was just so a part of doing business, and yeah, there was no kind of compassion or anything towards it. It was that whole life was gone in a flash and forgotten, probably in just a flash.
Well, and you know, of course, we're doing the same thing in the States to every single cow that goes to the slaughterhouse without a second thought. We're doing it. So, you know, certainly all of the countries need to give up this addiction to flesh and this idea that you kill to get your food when the food grows up out of the ground for us. It's there for us. What a miraculous thing, and gives us oxygen at the same time. So, I love the Sea Shepherd. They spend every Thanksgiving, every Christmas down in Antarctica defending these animals, and it's just a miraculous thing.
Vegan crew as well.
Yes, an all vegan crew.
They are an all vegan crew.
Oh, they don't.
Yeah,
get
I bet there was one moment where they were put on the air and they were asked, and they were humbled by the whole thing. I remember the gentleman just kind of grabbed his girlfriend or what, and there was a certain like embarrassment kind of thing to it, and I thought, wow, how human was that moment?
Okay, let's go on with the next news story. I think I'm next. The 2012 International Vegetarian Union, International Vegetarian Congress, also known as the IVU, will be held in San Francisco this year. For the U.S., this is the first time in more than a decade that the International Vegetarian Union's event has taken place in the United States. This year's event will be hosted by the San Francisco Vegetarian Society at the County Fair Building at Golden Gate Park. The San Francisco Vegetarian Society has been holding a locally based World Veg Festival at this time for many years, with several thousand visitors each year. Opening meal and celebrations are rumored to take place at a famous restaurant in the city. Talks, workshops, events, visits, and sightseeing tours will take place in various locations around the city and beyond. And for more about the San Francisco Vegetarian Society and the annual San Francisco World Veg Festival, CSFVS for San Francisco Vegetarian Society, sfvs.org/WVD. And this was actually a story in this very room. Shirley reported on 1 year ago. This is so exciting. In 2012, of all years, mm-hmm. And I was teasing, you know, oh, good, they're finally getting back to the United States on the end of the world. But it's not going to be. It's going to be the end of the meat eating. That's going to be the big apocalypse. Everybody's going to get used to eating their salad, you know, and all the delicious
food. Getting their protein and nutrients firsthand,
yes.
Instead of secondhand.
Yes.
Yeah, good, very good.
So this is so exciting. I can't believe it. The last time they were in the States, I can't remember. I think it was, it was back east, but it was more than a decade ago. I think they were in Canada the last time, and we are so lucky to have it, and it's such a fantastic city. I mean, we were talking about LA a little while ago, San Francisco. I think I have a guess of what restaurant they might have in mind, but time will tell. So let's see who is next. Dennis.
A San Francisco-based Japanese restaurant, Rao Om, has created what they refer to as a vegan foie gras.
Foie gras.
He's vegan. He doesn't know how to pronounce it.
I was hoping for that save, and I will ask you. I'll need that save again in a moment. Yeah, the dish. I'm getting it written out phonetically for me.
We got your back, Dennis.
The dish, tofu mizoksuki.
Misozuki.
Misozuki is a miso-cured tofu, hence the pronunciation misozuki. Right? Made locally with non-GMO ingredients and cured in miso for a minimum of 2 months. Created from an 18th century recipe, it took 3 years for the restaurant to perfect. With a spreadable consistency, Faoram recommends you enjoy this traditional delicacy of Japanese cuisine with dried fruits or preserves, paired with wine or sake, on bread or crackers, or on its own. Whereas the highly controversial and appalling cruel duck or goose-based foie gras, it's made by forcibly overfeeding a goose or duck until they develop a diseased fatty liver and then are slain. The cruelty-free and vegan version can be bought online at the restaurant's website, raum.com.
Moving along, we're going to talk a little bit about the veg scene in Dallas. A Dallas publication has asked leaders of the Dallas-Fort Worth vegan scene to come forward and tell the community their New Year's resolutions for 2012. Good Karma Kitchen has decided to offer more gluten-free options as well as increase efforts for sustainability. Texas campaign coordinator for Mercy for Animals, Nora Kramer, stated amongst a very ambitious list that she wants to increase her effectiveness as an activist. Christy Morgan, whom we had on the show a couple months ago, author of Blissful Bites, states that she wants to help more people on their path to healthier, happier lives by keeping her professional goal of meeting as many people as possible in person. Jamie Scott, founder of DallasVegan.com and the Texas State Veggie Fair, the resolution for 2012 is to read more. By doing so, he hopes to increase his awareness of many issues and open his mind to new ideas.
Here's an interesting story that Shirley would have liked, being a big fan of Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen DeGeneres and her wife, Portia de Rossi, are creating their very own line of vegan dog food products from their own pet food company known as Halo. This wonderful news comes after Ellen launched the website Going Vegan with Ellen, and the news of a Los Angeles-based vegan restaurant is in the works. Now, your dog can be vegan, too. In 2008, Ellen became co-owner of Halo and an all-natural pet food company. The reason, Ellen joked, was I've been using all their products long before I decided to invest in the company. I attribute my shiny coat to all their natural supplements. Unknown when the line will be released, the couple has created the line after, quote, discovering a void in the market for people looking to feed their dogs vegan vittles, unquote.
Celebrities looking to promote a life of compassion and sustainability are looking to veganism in the new year. Longtime vegetarian Alan Cummings decided to become a vegan after seeing Mike Tyson become the poster boy for veganism, as well as artists and celebrities like President Bill Clinton, Russell Brand, and Ozzy Osbourne. Professional tennis players and sisters Serena and Venus Williams have decided to openly embrace raw veganism in the new year as well. Earlier in 2011, Venus Williams was diagnosed with a rare autoimmune disease, and after finding out that the only treatments available would cause further health complications, her sister Serena suggested she take a more holistic approach, and so together they sought out a raw vegan lifestyle. Whereas Venus is using the diet to manage her pain, her sister has become raw and vegan to support the health benefits and lifestyle of veganism and solidarity.
And our last news story for the evening. Last year, our beloved Shirley spoke with Chef Tanya Petronova, creator and chef of Native Foods, about opening a restaurant at Vegan World Radio's base of operations, Houston, Texas. Since then, the 100% entirely vegan chain has not only opened a series of restaurants in Portland, Oregon, but has also plans to open more than 40 restaurants throughout the United States. Newport in San Diego, California, Chicago, Illinois, and Boulder, Colorado, along with Washington State, as well as more to come in Oregon, have been named with more locations to follow. Will Houston finally get a chance at a Native Foods restaurant? Stay tuned to Vegan World Radio throughout the year for updates on this amazing topic.
And this is so exciting because I remember it was early December of a year ago, and Shirley was kind of teasing Chef Tanya and saying, okay, I asked Ching Hai to open a Loving Hut, and she did it within the year. And she goes, well, see, you're asking me in December. I have like 30 days to do it. But have any of you guys eaten at Native Foods?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's my favorite in California. I just love it. And she has this, the native cheese, which is all made from seed, completely vegan. If we could get that here, we would just be, it would be heaven. It would just be fantastic.
If people is get a chance, there is a video on the opening of Portland, Oregon store. And I mean, what I found amazing is there were people on this video that weren't even vegan, that didn't know it was a vegan restaurant, talking about how amazing the food was.
Yeah, they weren't even vegetarian. They were saying, I thought it was chicken. And I couldn't So that's what we want. We want to trick the meat eaters and win them over, you know.
Always the best when they walk in and didn't even know.
Yeah, just like foie gras, you know. If we can do that, then, hey, have more and more.
I've heard some people remark about that even with Loving Hut here in town.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, does anybody, I know we had to kind of speed up the news stories there, but did anybody have any more comments before Bernadette's going to tell us about what's coming up next week? In just a second here.
On next week's show is going to be a little bit about the hip-hop movement and how they're greening the movement. This will be our show leading up for the MLK holiday. And basically, we're going to talk to Yerim Sheikh. He's the hip-hop MC. And if you want a little preview of that show, you can look at Hip Hop Meets the Green Movement.
I think it's actually Keith Tucker.
Oh, we're going to be talking to Keith. Right. Okay, good.
And from what I understand, it's actually Dr. Roba who first...
Right.
Directed us towards Keith's story. It's an amazing thing. It's kind of the opposite of what is the movie where the guy eats McDonald's for 30 days?
Supersize Me.
It's like the opposite of that. Yeah. He decided to film himself eating healthy, eating vegan, and show the positive effects instead of...
That's a nice idea.
Instead of the opposite. So thank you, Bernadette, for doing that. We're really looking forward to that show. And that's going to kick off Black History Month, since we are going to be in the throes of Pledge Drive. And by the way, if you want to support the show early, remember you can always go to kpft.org. And that really makes us excited when people pre-pledge and gets us off on the right start. So let's see. We have a few minutes left. We're going to talk about some of the community announcements. Oh, but before we do, somebody's going to Ireland.
Yes. I will be going to Ireland to celebrate my mother's 60th birthday and say farewell to my grandfather, who passed away last year. And so the entire family is going to be staying in a very small area, please don't laugh, called Dingle, Ireland. And it's in the county of Kerry. And
I've been there.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. So one of the cool things I did, again, is I was very resourceful, and I found a meetup on meetup.com with an Irish group. And I contacted, and this woman contacted me back, and apparently she runs a vegan stall at a farmer's market. She told me about all kinds of amazing vegetarian-friendly and vegan-friendly restaurants that I could try out while I'm there. And they are also going to organize meetups based around little old me.
So, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, and explain Saoirse. That's of Irish origin, right?
Yes. Saoirse actually means freedom in the old language, the mother tongue, I guess you could say. So, you know, when you're Irish and Mexican, your parents get pretty creative there, don't they?
Well, okay, let's see if we can squeeze in a few community events, because Houston is so full of wonderful events for the vegan and animal rights community. And if we run out of time, be sure and go to vegansocietyofpeace.org and look for the events calendar. But I think one that's not actually on that list yet, Bernadette got to go to earlier today, is it right?
Right. Dr. Montgomery, who's also been on our show numerous times, is running a free 10-day detox. And they were meeting tonight. They're going to be also meeting tomorrow night. from 6:30 to 7:30, then from 7:40 to 8:40, and same thing next week, the 11th and the 12th, same time, 6:30 to 7:30, 7:40 to 8:40, both Wednesday and Thursday evenings.
So you went to that today. What was it like?
He's going to talk to you about basically adopting a plant-based diet for your health. Starts out mostly raw and everything. So for the detox, they're recommending that you do juicing. They give demos. There'll be food samples, everything, handouts, all vegan, all raw for the detox part, and then gradually adding cooked foods back in.
So it's a good way to start off the new year. Now, Bernadette, absolutely, how would people find the clinic if they're looking?
Well, you can go to his website. It'll be BaxterMontgomery.com, or it's the address is 10480 Main Street. It's just south of 610 on Main.
That's right. You go to drbaxtermontgomery.com. And
actually, you have to get, just so people know, you have to actually get off Main right before it. As you're heading south, get off Main just before the Belfort.
Just before you get to the overpass.
Street, yeah.
It's a feeder highway type environment, so if you don't get off, you'll drive past it.
Yeah,
you'll probably see it after you've driven by it.
Yeah,
and exactly.
you'll have to turn around and come back.
But yeah, you can see it on
your
right.
You won't be the first person.
And also, okay, let's see, we're running short on time, but real quick, Society of Peace has a new thing for this year, potlucks.
Potlucks, the second Saturday at the Haven Center, which is right there at St. Stephen's Church on Alabama. Potluck, 6 o'clock.
We want you, everybody, to tune in to vegansocietyofpeace.org. They have a terrific calendar section. I want to thank Bernadette, Saoirse, Dennis, VeganX, Wonderful Snail, who's been piloting the soundboards and keeping us going through everything, and our collective member, Avon, who's been producing the show from the sound booth. And also thank you to Anuj and Bet, who joined us on the air.
And Young Zeep.
Remember, if you've missed any portion of this show, you can hear it again at archive.kpft.org. There are a world of reasons to go vegan, and the vegan world will bring us peace. As we go out, we'll be listening to One World Revolution and Tranquility. So don't worry about 2012. It'll be fine.
Happy New Year's.
This one's for you, Shirley.
This is for Shirley.
This is for Shirley.
Damage Control is coming up next. You're listening to 90.1 in Houston.
This is about something that you can do and that many others can do. That really will matter.
Hungry? Why not ask your doctor about... It's dead, and it's made from animals, so you know it's natural. Of course, most meat does contain large doses of antibiotics needed to keep animals alive.
This is the time of year to plant fruit trees, and you can pick out one just right for your yard at the Urban Harvest Annual Fruit Tree Sale. The sale is located at the University of Houston Robertson Football Stadium on Scott and Colon. There's plenty of parking right at the sale site. As usual, there will be a huge number of available trees, including citrus, peach, plums, nectarines, cherries, apples, pears, figs, pomegranates, pecans, grapes, blackberries, blueberries, star fruits, dragon fruits, avocados, olives, and more. The sale will be held Saturday, January 14th from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. or until sold out. Two pre-sale classes on Saturday, January 7th and Tuesday, January 10th will cover every variety of tree being offered, as well as fruit tree maintenance and care. For details on the trees and directions to the sale and the classes, check the Urban Harvest website at urbanharvest.org. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, kpft.org.
Every weekday at 9, KPFT features programming by you. It's called Open Journal, and it's an experiment in truly community radio. On Open Journal, regular listeners just like you come into KPFT studios to host their own programs. Sometimes it's talk, sometimes it's music, but it's always unique. Open Journal airs weekdays at 9 a.m. right after BBC headlines. The Community Spotlight at 9:30 is here for you. Open Journal is what community radio is all about. You can even participate and host your own Open Journal. Just drop by KPFT's website at kpft.org to download an Open Journal application. We provide the help, you provide the knowledge. Tune in to Open Journal at 9 a.m. weekdays. This is KPFT Houston.